Welcome back, guys. Tarek, Alcoholic Addict. Oh, somebody just reminded me of something about the fifth step. When you're listening to a fifth step, when I listen to a fifth step, I have a couple of sheets of paper out. So as you're sharing your fifth step with me, I start making a list of your grosser handicaps and the belief systems that don't work for you anymore. The belief that my time is more important than other people's time. The belief that I deserve to be treated a certain way. That my needs and wants are more important than anybody else's. The idea that anything going on inside of me has anything to do with what's going on outside of me. These are self-defeating belief systems. I think they're very crucial in uncovering true defects of character. But then you have the defects of character like being lazy, procrastination, not being on time, axe to grind. These are some common. So I'm making a list of all these things. So when the person is done with their fifth step, I can give them a list of their grosser handicaps so they can take that into their step six and seven. The other list I'm making is an amends list. I don't tell the men I sponsor who they're going to make amends to. I suggest that you may owe this person an amends, and I also ask them to pray about it. But I don't edit sponsees' eight-step list. I just don't do that. That's very godlike for me to tell someone, this is what you have to do. You must make amends to this person. You don't have to make amends to that one. You can pay back some of this money. You don't need to pay back all of it. I don't do that.
You don't need to go to your ex-girlfriends.
Those are the most important amends that I've made, by the way. Old employers and ex-girlfriends have been very effective in removing character defects or suppressing character defects. And that's the magic of step 6 and 7. It happens in the action of 8 and 9. There's something that happens when you make amends to somebody and you look them in the eye and they get to tell you in living color what your defects of character do to other people. So people that spend a lot of time on 6 and 7 are people typically that don't want to work steps 8 and 9. All right, so I'm not going to read line by line what's going on in pages 76 through page 83. But they give you every type of amends scenario possible. The first one is when you go through your business acquaintances and you've got some misgivings, and they tell you what the purpose of making amends is on page 77. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and other people about us. What a wonderful way to go out into the world and be a living example of Alcoholics Anonymous and Cocaine Anonymous instead of what we see on TV all the time. Meeting, meeting, meeting. And then all the jingles, as Brandon calls them. All the jingles. But we don't ever hear people on TV when we hear something about AA talk about making amends or a personal relationship with God or taking people through the 12 steps. It is rare that you will see that in any type of TV show or movie. And that's our fault. That's our fault. So then it goes through and it talks about when to bring up the subject of God and when not to talk about God. If someone invites you into the situation to share the spiritual aspect of this program, yes. But we don't start off that way. They call it, that's like leading with the chin in a boxing match. And then at the bottom of 77, they give us a wonderful rule. And the rule is simply, we tell them that we will never get over our drink until we've done the utmost to straighten our past. This is a relevant rule to follow when you're in early recovery. When I go and make amends now, I don't even reference addiction. I don't reference my alcoholism. I simply tell them I'm going back through my life and I'm trying to repair all the damage that I've caused. I believe I've caused you some harm and I'd like to make it right. Would you be willing to sit down? I don't need to tell them anymore that I need to do my utmost to recover from my addiction and I have to make these amends. And you know, it takes me back to I dated a girl from 1998-2002. I went to make amends to her. She was in my first year. I was making amends to her, and she told me I was selfish for making the amends and that I was only there because of me. And she was right. It was a very, you know, I got there. I told her, you know, I said, this is how I harmed you. What can I do to make things right between us? That was before I learned the other two questions. What can I do to make things right? But I did ask her if I'd left anything out. And I thought I followed through. And she said, you were only there for yourself. Because I think I worded it like this. I told her I was there and I would go back to smoking crack if I didn't do everything I could to make all these amends. It makes it sound very selfish. That you're not really there because you're emotionally connected to the harm. You're there because your ass is on the line. And you want to live. I get it. So, again, I have years of experience doing this. I know it contradicts a little bit of what's in the big book. But the reality is, that's what happened. I was there because I knew I would not recover from my addiction unless I made all these amends. And I worded it that way in my amends because that's what the big book says. And so I gained my own personal experience, and when I met my current sponsor, he steered me away from that. Okay, let's turn to 78. On the top of 78, they talk about people who we hated for years, and things change when we go make amends. I've got a story I'd like to share with you on that. The middle of 78 is about when you owe people money, arranging the best deal. We can let these people know we are sorry and our drinking has made us slow to pay, etc. We must lose the fear of the creditors no matter how far we have to go. Like I said, the first thing I did was pull my credit report. I had a bunch of stuff in collections. I think there was 8 total things between utility companies and other organizations I owed money to, and I called each one of them up and set up the best deal I could. I was making monthly payments, and that's how my financial amends started. At the bottom of 78, there's criminal offenses, and it tells you how to deal with that. And then on page 79, when you start wondering if you're giving them your money, remind yourself that you decided to go to any lengths to find a spiritual experience. You ask that you be given the strength and direction to do the right thing, no matter what the personal consequences may be. We don't involve other people without getting their permission. That's the middle of 79. And the top of 80. Page 80, fourth full paragraph, 4 lines down. We saw that we had to place the outcome in God's hands, or we would soon start drinking or using. The next paragraph talks about what happens when we cheat on our spouse. And then on page 82 is one of my favorite paragraphs. The alcoholic and addict, they're like tornadoes roaring through the lives of others. Hearts are broken. Sweet relationships are dead. Affections have been uprooted. Selfish and inconsiderate habits have kept the home in turmoil.
So wait, it doesn't say drugs and alcohol have kept the house in turmoil?
No, it says selfish and inconsiderate habits.
Oh, shit.
I know, go figure. We feel a man is unthinking when he says that sobriety or being clean is enough. He's like the farmer who came up out of his cyclone cellar to find his home ruined. To his wife, he remarked, "Don't see anything a matter here, Ma. Ain't it grand the wind stopped blowing?" And we actually think being sober is enough after everything we put these people through. You know, I made amends to my mom. She had this son that would disappear for weeks and months at a time. Didn't know if he was alive or what was going on. And she called me every day for the first 5 years of my recovery. First 5 years, every day. And if I didn't pick up the phone, she would trip out. And I would get angry. And I'd call my sponsor and be like, "What the fuck? Why does she call me every day?" And he says to me, "Well, how long did you terrorize her? How long did you terrorize her?" And then he'd always say this to me, "Tarek, if you walk 20 miles into the forest, you can't turn around and walk back out. You got to walk 20 more miles to get out." But as the addict in me wants to go deep 20 miles and I want to turn around and be out. And I want sobriety to be enough. Hey, I'm trying to stay clean and sober, and I'm doing what you guys are asking me to do. Everything is fine now. though that's not true. The only thing that works for the people closest to us is an extended period of changed behavior. They rarely are going to listen to what comes out of our mouth. That's the key with the family and the loved ones that are closest to you. They just want to see changed behavior. They've watched your lips move for far too long. So we're going to share some experience making amends in Brandon's. I'm going to turn it over to Brandon.
One alcoholic, my name's Brandon. So, you know, there's been so many powerful amends that have happened to me, and when I prayed about it, two came to mind. But, you know, what's funny is that I could not ask my current wife to marry me until I had made the amends to my former wife, because there's something about this spiritual law where I have to keep the universe whole before I can take from it again. And so for me, it was necessary to make the amends to the mother of my children because I wanted to have a lasting relationship with the woman I was getting ready to marry. And I don't see that I can walk around with a continued scar on the universe that I'm not willing to make right and still be in a happy relationship going forward. If I owe the whole universe money and I expect God to deliver a bunch of money into my life, it's not going to happen. If I expect to get a good job and I haven't cleaned up my past work performance, I might get a job, but it's not going to be the job that I really want. The universe has this way of kind of writing things. The relationships that you struggle with, you clean those up, you start to get relationships that you don't struggle with. That's just how it works. Spiritual law. We can get into philosophical discussion about it, but that's my experience. That's Tarek's experience. That's anybody that's made amends experience. So This one amend that I'm going to talk about, it was a parking ticket in a big mixed-use shopping center that was probably $35. It was on the list. It was one of those that it was just like, it was a nuisance amend. It was an amend that I had to go make because it was on the list. But it was just like, I went there, I probably had a half-ass attitude about it. And so I go there, and as I get out of the car, and I'm walking around, I'm looking around for like a parking meter person. And there's not one to be found, but there's this guy in this wheelchair, and he starts talking to me. And of course, I'm pretty important at this moment because I'm trying to find what's going on. And this guy starts talking to me, and I'm like, okay, fine, I'll talk to him. And I'm like, what's up? And he's like, hey, man, how's it going? And I'm like, good. He's like, look, I'm a diabetic. Is there any way you're going to Taco Mac? And I'm like, well, I'm going to go to lunch, but I don't know if I'm going to go to Five Guys or Taco Mac. He's like, well, if you go to Taco Mac, you think you can give me a bowl of chili? I'm like, you could ask me for $5 or something like that, but instead he wants me to go get him a bowl of chili. I'm like, yeah, whatever. So then I look all over the place. I can't find the parking attendant, so I decide that I'm going to go have my bowl of chili or I'm going to go eat at Taco Mac. And I sit down and I realize that guy asked me if I was going to Taco Mac, if I could get him a bowl of chili, so fine. So I order a bowl of chili to go. I take it to him. He's amazed by this process, right? So I eat, fast forward the story, can't find anybody, finally find out where the office is. I go down to the office. The guy comes to the door and I say, hey, I've got a parking ticket from this complex from like a while back, and I'm here to pay it. And the guy goes, well, how long ago was it? I was like, well, it's like probably a year and a half ago. And he goes, well, we've only been managing this place for the last 6 months. He's like, so I can't help you. And I was like, oh, okay. And he's like, do you want the phone number of the people that used to manage it? He's like, yeah, that's kind of a weird question. So sure. And so he gives me the phone number. So I call this lady. And I say, hey, I'm at this complex, and I have a parking ticket from a couple years ago, and I need to make it right because I've stolen from the universe. And she just goes, huh, give me a minute. So you start doing these amends, and people start thinking you're a little bit kooky, right? The rest of the world doesn't understand why I'm there to pay a $35 parking ticket. So she comes back on the phone and she said, "Sir, I've been told to tell you to have a good day." I said, "No, you don't understand. I've taken from the universe. I have to repay the universe. I have to pay this." And she's like, "Well, I guess just, give it to somebody else." I'm like, "Well, can I send it to you?" And she's like, "Thank you very much. All right, have a good day." So then I'm struggling. So I have a sponsor. So I call my sponsor. I explain the whole story. And he said, "Well, you're going to have to find a way to get rid of the money." And I'm like, "Well, wait, there was that guy in the wheelchair. I could go give him the money." And so I go looking all over the place, can't find this guy. I finally see him. He's passed out on Piedmont, like snoring. And so I go up to him and I wake him up. I remember his name. And I said, "Hey, I'm an alcoholic and I've stolen money from the universe. And I need to repay the universe." And I tell him the whole story and he said, "Okay." And I was like, "So can I give the money to you?" And so I opened my wallet and the bullet chili was $5 and I have exactly $30 in my wallet. I give the money to him and I said, "How else can I make this right?" And he said, "Will you pray for me?" And I was like, "Sure." And then I realized he wanted to pray right then. So I'm like, "You want to pray right now?" And he's like, "Yeah." And so I say a little prayer of, I said, what should I ask for? And he says, "Ask for direction." And so I say a little prayer and I tell him, I heard in the very first AA meeting that I ever went to that if you pray to God for direction, you better be willing to move your feet. And I look at him and this guy is in the middle of this amazing spiritual experience. And I start bawling, he's bawling, and we're on Piedmont and cars are whipping by us. And it's one of the coolest things. And this is some stupid little parking ticket that I didn't even care about. And I'm in the middle of an experience that I thought was worthy of sharing with you. So are there big amends? Are there small amends? The other one I want to talk to you about is the fact that a little over a year and several months ago, My wife and I were trying to buy... apparently I'm getting emotional about this one. We were trying to buy a piece of property. And I used to be in... do some real estate stuff. And this guy was trying to buy this house from me. And I took his escrow money and put it in an escrow account. And then the deal fell through and... It was kind of when my business was melting down and I saw this guy as the reason for it, which was incorrect. Wrote inventory on it and saw that. But so he ended up with this judgment against me, this $1,000 judgment against me. And this judgment from years and years prior was going to block me from purchasing the property I wanted to purchase with my wife. And so I had to find a way to clean this up. And so... I'm going through with one of the guys I sponsor. We're going through the amends process, and I'm explaining how we can feel completely justified when we do the harm to the other person, and that because the universe works the way that it does, that it fucks with us later on. Okay, so this guy wanted to buy a house for me. I fucked with his money. Now I can't buy a house. Okay, starting to see the synchronicity of the universe. So. I'm explaining this to one of the guys I sponsor, and I realize as I'm explaining to it that I haven't really prayed to find this guy. I've been looking for him for multiple years and haven't found the guy. And so I said, "Well, James, I guess I need to pray about it." So again, one of my awesome prayers was, "Hey God, could you help me find this guy?" And so James says, "Well, what's the guy's name? Maybe I can find him. I'm pretty good at finding people." And so what I said out loud was, "This is the guy's name." What I thought inside was, "Go fuck yourself, James. You're not going to find him." So James starts flipping through LinkedIn, and I gave him a little description of the guy. And he says, "Is this him?" I said, "No, it's not him." And then I kept talking about something else, and James keeps going. He goes, "Is this him?" And I'm like, "It looks like him." And so I realized that this guy is him, and he works for... the Department of Veterans Affairs in Denver, Colorado. So my wife's pretty good at research, so I sick her on trying to track down a phone number, and she does. And I, again, guys, dead end. I call the main switchboard, and like I get lost in it, right? So hammered again. So she finally finds this email address for the guy. And so I email the guy and explain to him that I'm trying to make amends for the money that I stole from him. And so he doesn't reply to the email I sent him, but he replies to an email that I had sent him 2 years prior. And he says, no worries, I recouped about $900 through small claims court. Okay, and so I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He's in Denver, Colorado. And I get this wild hair that I'm going to go see him. And so I feel like this is what, when we get into intuition and the 11th step, or the 10th step, we'll talk a lot about like following these crazy little things. And so because it was kind of a little bit strange, I thought that maybe I should run it by my sponsor. So I call my sponsor, I lay out the whole thing, and I explain to what I'm going to do. And he just starts laughing. And he says, I love you. He said, I love the fact that you're this crazy that you would actually go and do that. He's like, but is it possible the guy really just doesn't want to see you? And so then I explained to Tarek again what's happened, and I was not clear with the guy through the email what I was really trying to do. I had sent him this email: I would like to settle the balance of the matter. If you'd be so kind, I have harmed you and need to do my utmost to straighten out this matter and make you whole. I have spent the last 2 years trying to track you down and found you through prayer and assistance from several people. Please let me know if you'd be so inclined. He replies with, if I had purchased the home, I would not be where I am today. That's how God works. It is not to be if God does not will it. I forgive you, God forgives you, and will bless you if you ask. He blessed me. So forget about it, move on with your life. I certainly have. Well, the problem is, I now have to still satisfy this judgment, and this guy's telling me to leave it alone. So at the direction of my sponsor, I send him a more clear email that is identifying exactly what exactly I'm seeking to do, and this is that email. Please allow me to expand on my request to meet with you. I have been seeking to find you for several years. In the past, it was an attempt to make direct amends to you, to pay you the money I stole from you, and to remove the judgment you have against me from my credit. The $1,000 you gave me as earnest money is still in an escrow account of the attorney. You indicated in your previous email that you were paid $900. However, I am unsure how this is possible, as I did not pay you. The $1,000 in the escrow account is yours and will be in that account until the funds are released as a result of the satisfaction of the judgment. I do not believe my journey in trying to find and eventually finding you is simply to pay you your money. It may be, but it is my experience that a journey such as I have been on has a deeper and much more spiritual purpose. I must disclose to you that I earnestly want to meet you for two reasons. The first and more self-serving reason is that my family and I intend to purchase a home in the next 45 days. Until the judgment you have against me is satisfied, I will be unable to purchase this home. The irony is not lost on me. The second reason is I would like to sit across from you and better understand how the harm I have caused you made you feel, to see if I have left anything out, and to ask how I can make things right with you. The forgiveness you offered in your previous email is appreciated. If you have reconciled this matter and wish to have no further contact with me, I understand and will respect your wishes. Independent of your wishes to have further contact with me, please contact the attorney and give him his number to complete the necessary paperwork to recover the money I stole from you. If you choose not to contact the attorney and complete the necessary paperwork, I understand your desire to not assist me, as I in no way had concern for you and your family when you called upon me to assist you. I am a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous. As part of my spiritual journey and my recovery, it is imperative I constantly seek to further and deepen my relationship with God. It is also my personal belief that the best way for me to better seek and experience God is through analyzing my conduct and my interaction with all of God's children. children. Through the spiritual journey, I face my resentments, fears, and conduct towards others, and I see how my selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and fearful behaviors dominate my life and lessen my ability to experience God and His children. A part of this process is to make direct amends to people I impacted as a result of my behavior. You are one of these individuals. I do not make the approach with the disillusion that I am a good guy or that I ever have been. Today I seek God with the hope that through the consciousness of that experience, I may become a better husband, father, friend, worker, and member of society. Perhaps our paths will cross as we trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. He did not reply. But the magical thing is, he contacted the attorney and the matter's been resolved. We purchased the home as we planned. If I had waited 2 more months, that judgment would have been removed from my credit. And we could have purchased the home anyways. But you see, I'm the kind of guy that I'm going to procrastinate. I'm going to put this shit off. I'm going to not really try to do this thing. And so the universe has this quirky little way of getting me to do things that I don't want to do. It is through these quirky little ways of doing things, through making amends, that I start to change. I start to see that my procrastination of things affects other people. I start to see the fact that when I don't do what I'm supposed to do, I harm not just me, but possibly the people that I love in my family. This is what amends is about. I start to change as a result of the experiences that come out of situations like this. And that change helps me to have a greater respect and consciousness with the power which is keeping me sober. That's what amends are about.
You know, one of the aspects of being a sponsor is we share all these experiences with the men we sponsor. A lot of my amends stories that I'm going to share with you, they come out when I'm listening to a fifth step. When I listen to a fifth step, I'm always looking for opportunities to share parts of my fifth step so I can build trust, so I can show people that what they've done is not that bad, and that we are alike. We suffer from the same conscious separation of God. We have many similar life experiences. And I encourage all of you as you listen to fifth steps. You know, they're the type of sponsors who listen to fifth steps and give very little feedback. It's more of a confessional for the person that's at their fifth step. But I've always been taught to give feedback. And so my job when I listen to a fifth step is to make sure that you're aware of how this trouble is of your own making. And can you look at this from an entirely different angle? That's what I need to do. Okay? And a lot of my amends stories come out in that process, because you're going through telling me a resentment about someone that you believe you're the victim of. And by me sharing with you how I was able to make it right with someone I thought I was once a victim of, we're able to both overcome that difficulty. The first amends that comes to mind for me is I was a valet. I parked cars at a restaurant in Buckhead. And I wrecked a car on the job, and I was able to hide it and get it off the parking lot. And that was the harm. You know, I wrecked the car. They had to file an insurance claim. And so I get clean and sober. One of my amends is this guy named Michael Hardy. He's the owner of Premier Valet. And so I'm at a restaurant in right where Brandon at Lindbergh. I'm at the Longhorn at Lindbergh, and I run into this guy's son, who was his father was the owner of the valet company, and I was making amends at the time. I probably had 3.5-4 years at the time. I'd gotten back into making amends because I took a while off for some reason. Around the same time, I started struggling, too. Go figure.
Weird.
And so I'm getting back into making all these events. It's been I'm chipping away at this first A-step list. And I ask him, hey, is your dad still in the valet business? He goes, no, my dad's a district attorney for Fulton County now. He prosecutes people that have DUIs. I'm like, oh. Okay, do you have his phone number? And so I got his phone number, and I called Mr. Hardy, and that's what he was. He was one of the lead prosecutors for Fulton County now. And I'm about to call this guy up and tell him I wrecked one of his cars and I stole from him. And so I left him a voicemail explaining to him that he was in my past, I harmed him, I owed him some money, and I'd like to pay him back. And so he calls me back and says, does this have to do with the 9-step amends? I was like, yes, sir. And he goes, okay, come on down to my office. So I go down to his office, I go in there. Turns out that his mom's been sober and Alcoholics Anonymous for, I think it was like 32 or 42 years. And he was the owner of a valet company, so he employed a lot of young men. And he told me he'd lost count of how many people had come to make amends to him from owning that valet company. And so I told him what I had done. And I said, I want to pay you your money for this car, right? And he said, no, I don't want the money. But he gave me a specific charity I had to donate it to. And I donated it, and I kept all the receipts. And then when I was done, I called him and said the amends was complete. That one always sticks out to me. Another one that sticks out is in 2004, I was, as you're going to hear tonight, part of my story is I got really involved in selling large quantities of drugs. And so I had this one guy that I worked with, and he hooked up an interview with his dad. He told me his dad was in the insurance business, but it turned out that his dad was actually the owner and CEO of this company that was pretty, like 150 employees, large company. They did retirement planning for banks. And so he actually gave me a job as a benefit analyst. And it was after I'd been unemployed. I'd been parking cars and selling drugs for about 2.5 years. And it came through this guy that I was selling drugs with. And so eventually I got that job. I got fired from that job. And I didn't go to work. And they had to let me go. They wrote me up. And so not only did I owe the father the amends, I owed my buddy Andy an amends as well. Because Andy was real strung out on meth. And he was living up near Lake Arrowhead, I believe, somewhere up there. And he was psychotic breaks, and I would go to him and I would continue to sell him stuff because he always had money and I knew I could get money and give him what I needed and get the hell out of there. And I continued to harm him in that way. And so I went to the father and I made amends for being a bad employee, for disrespecting him, for giving me the job. But one of the things I made amends to him for and the most difficult was I had to tell him how I was selling drugs to his son, even though his son was way off the deep end. And Roger was his name. Roger was very taken by my willingness to show up and try to clean all this up. So when I asked him how I could make things right, he said, my son, Andy, is still really bad off on crystal meth. Can you talk to him? And so I began a 2-year or 3-year long process of trying to find his son, Andy. And I did find him. And I took him out to lunch. And I made the amends. And part of me wished I'd gotten there a couple years sooner, because you could tell that the years of no sleep, the weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks of not sleeping, this guy just wasn't right anymore. There was something missing in him. It was really sad. But I completed that amends. That's what his dad wanted me to do. And that's what I did. It took me 3 years because he would not return any of my phone calls. His dad gave me his number. I must have left him 4 or 5 voicemails over the course of 3 years until I finally got a hold of him. I had a guy that I used to hate. You know, you guys run around in circles and you just get these guys that you don't like them and they don't like you, and it's known. And so there was this one cat. And it was one of those deals where if somebody called me up and they were coming to my house and he was with them, but you can't come to my house. Don't bring that dude here. And then he would pull the same thing with me at times. Or one of my friends would be with me and he would say something like that. And we talk shit about each other. So I get sober, I run into them at concerts, and it's like you run into this person in the parking lot of a concert, and you just, the force field goes up. It's like you just know, hey, if you're a piece of shit, I'm a piece of shit, we're good, stay the fuck away from me, right? And that's how it was. And then for whatever reason, I decided, and he was on my 8-step list, but he was on my never list. And so one day I called him up, and we met for lunch. And I made amends to him, and he made amends to me for all the things he had done to me. And the next show I was at, I saw him, and it was like we were long-lost brothers. Years of not liking each other melted away. But here's the linchpin. So his house gets raided, and he goes to prison. He was in county for over a year. I don't know if he was in prison, but his best friend reaches out to me and says, hey, Gus wants you to ride him while he's in jail. That's the power of making amends. So I wrote him while he was in jail. I walked in on my ex-girlfriend cheating on me in 2000. End of 2001, caught her in the act. I stalked her all night. I parked across the street. I watched her come out of the dude's apartment. And then I watched her run back in when she realized I left the rose on her car. So I left the rose just so I could see the reactions because she knew I was there. And I kicked the door in and ran inside, made a big scene, got a little violent. And I proceeded to assassinate characters. I wanted people to take sides because this was sort of like a friend of mine. He was the bartender at one of the bars I used to hang out at, and she was a waitress there. And so I go through the recovery process. I work the steps. I finally see how the trouble was of my own making because I looked at me. If I had been a girl dating me, I would have cheated on me. I was a horrible boyfriend. Absolutely horrendous. I pushed her away. She didn't leave me. And then this guy, Tony, shows up on my 8-step list. And he's also on my never list. And so I'm driving down North Decatur Road in Atlanta. And the voice says, go to the bar. Tony might be at work. And I'm like, fuck, I ain't going to the bar. I ain't going to make this amends. And the voice says, go to the bar. It's the middle of the day. There's no way he's there. Go to the bar. It's like my car was forced to this restaurant / bar in North Decatur Road in the middle of the day. I don't even think it was like a Friday or Saturday. It was like on a Wednesday. Middle of the day, I walk in the bar, and he's behind the bar. And I've known for years that this guy still works at this place, but I've never been willing to make the amends. For this day, for whatever reason, I'm willing to make the amends. And I go in there and I make amends to the man that my girlfriend was cheating on me with. And I made amends to him, and he started to cry. I don't know if I shed any tears. It's really difficult for me to cry, but I got choked up. And he made amends to me for sleeping with my girlfriend. And we mended fences. About 3 months ago, I have a guy that is a buddy of mine in the program, and we're going out to lunch, and I walk into the restaurant, and this guy still works at this restaurant. He's still the bartender there, and we acted like we had known each other for years, that we had grown up together, and we were just high-fiving and catching up, and I sat down with my buddy who's in the program, and I was telling him this story, and he looked at me, he goes, there's no way in hell I would ever believe that you walked in on that dude sleeping with your girlfriend. I was like, yeah, that's the power of God. That's the power of making amends. And the last story I want to share with you, and I could go on, man, I got a bunch more, but the last one I can share with you, this is the ripple effect of making amends in our actions. So, like, Brandon gave an incredible description of our tunnel vision when it comes to making amends. And when we answer that question, whom had we hurt, we rarely will see anyone outside of the exchange between me and one or two people. And so I slept with my best friend's fiance. Actually, you're going to get two stories out of this. I slept with my best friend's fiance in 2003. And he found out. And we had a huge group of friends. We went to shows together all the time. There was probably, I'm talking 15 to 20 base people in this circle of friends. And we were in the middle of the circle. And so everybody had to pick sides. right? Because I was trying to steal her away from him, and he wanted to keep her. I mean, it was some Jerry Springer shit. And so everybody finds out, and so I'm assassinating his character. Long story short, I get clean and sober, and he's on my... I don't think he was on my never list. I was willing to make that amends. And I took him out to lunch, and he unleashed on me more severely than anyone in making amends. It was probably one of the worst as far as what I was having coming at me. And so he came at me, and I asked him what I could do to make it right. And he said, really, just you allowing me this opportunity to fucking ream you is making it right for me. But here's the powerful part. So, and I did make amends to her. It wasn't as powerful, but she saw me, and she had to see me in a public place, though. And it was a good amends. And I went to a workshop, a big book workshop, in the fall of 2010. And the facilitators of the workshop, they sent us all an email that said, we want you to bring something to the workshop that means a lot to you. And so that guy, whose fiance I slept with, after I made amends to him, a few months later, he gave me this crystal, wrapped crystal pendant, because he loved me. And so when I went to that monastery in that workshop, and I got to take that item that I greatly valued, I took that pendant, and I went up to them in front of all these people I'd never met, and I told them why this was so important to me, because this was a symbol of the power of God. How else does that happen? How else does that happen? So while I was cheating, or I was sleeping with his fiance, we had these two friends that lived in an apartment complex that would travel, and then she would watch their dogs. And so we would meet and have sex at their apartment. And I took them out to dinner to make amends to them, but it wasn't for what I thought I was making amends for. What happened was I showed up to make the amends for making them choose sides in the middle of that whole situation, and I robbed the group of friends of security. They had a tight group of folks, and I riddled it all with insecurity now. And it was something that they should not have had to deal with. And that's why I was there to make the amends. And in the process, I can't remember if I was there to make amends for using their apartment, but that's what came up. I said, you know, I need to make amends to you because, you know, Stacy and I used to meet at your apartment and have sex because we were hiding from Chris. And they both looked at each other and they finally knew where the used condom had come from. So check this out. This was 5 years afterwards. These two people came home and found a used condom in their apartment. And they both thought the other one had cheated. And they had to resolve that issue. So for 5 years, the other one really had this sneaking suspicion that maybe she might have cheated on me, or maybe he had cheated on me. I gave them closure that night. What if I had not been willing to make that amends? What if I had not been willing to show up and make that amends? Those people may never have gotten closure. That's what making amends is about. I mean, the amount of trust and faith I developed in my relationship with God, now as I sit here and share these experiences with you, I'm so convinced this is it's a result of the amends process. Why my faith and trust in God does not get shaken. I may act like I'm in fear, and I may be fearful, but there's a big part of me that knows I'm safe and protected, that just knows it. And it's a result of making amends. I think that's all I got. Let's shut it down. Let's come back five after. Good.